This week's podcast is brought to you by Myers Auto Parts in Marion, Kentucky. Stop by and see Ronnie or Kathy or Kyle and all the rest of the crew at Myers Auto Parts, your local Napa store. Welcome to our regular Monday podcast. This is our post-game show. It's a little later being posted this week than normal. Been to a funeral of Frank Pierce's father. His father was also Frank Pierce, and wonderful funeral down in Clarksville. And just want to wish Frank and his family all the best in the coming days, and to know that our thoughts and our prayers are with them. And Coach Starnes, I know you went down to visitation. Frank's been a big part of this program for many years.
Yeah, you know, he was a coach when I first came here. So, you know, back in '91, we started together, and I know Coach Pierce from college, and got to know his dad. And his dad was a football official, yeah, too, in Tennessee. And, you know, he had on the state championship rings that he officiated with. So, you know, it's our condolences go out to him, our thoughts and prayers. And just want the Pierce family to know that Rocket Nation is behind them.
Yeah. And Rocket Nation had a big following over at Webster County on Friday night. And, man, I'm telling you, Jeremy Wheeler's defense showed up, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm telling you what, now, defense played well. You know, it wasn't until a long pass that they got really positive yardage, and really don't know if they would have ended up with positive yardage if we don't give up that long score. And so, I mean, you know, I tell you what, from the time the ball was snapped, you know, our defense just absolutely got after him.
We've even brought Coach Wheeler in today to talk about his defense. Coach, you got anything you want to say about these kids?
I just say our front three was what controlled the game from the very beginning to the very end. And, Chris, I think I was telling you over the weekend at the Old Timers baseball game, it was so funny, the first series, all the linebackers are giving all the accolades to the front three, and then about five, six series in, they say, hey, can you take those guys out and put somebody else in there where we can get some tackles? And so it was pretty funny, you know, on the sideline, you know, up until halftime.
Yeah, across the front, Burke, he had six tackles and the block punt and then a tackle for loss on another snap that went over the punter's head. And then Beavers had five tackles. O'Leary had five tackles. And then, hey, our freshman linebacker, Kate McAllister, another second week with five tackles.
Yeah, so. And, you know, we pick a offense-defense lineman of the week and special teams player of the week. And, you know, we can't pick a defensive player of the week.
It'd be hard, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, we end up selecting the three front interior linemen.
Yeah.
You know, so all three of them, because, I mean, they were – you know, between them, those three guys, I mean, they had 16 tackles, and 11 of those were tackle for losses. So, you know, that's unheard of. And so, you know, it is good because, I mean, they are competing with one another for lineman of the week and defensive player of the week. And, you know, it says a lot for them. And I'm going to tell you, watching the film, I mean, they were hustling. They were doing the things that we coached them to do, and that's what you enjoy. You know, you just hope that it filters on to Union County. It's going to be a little tougher opponent. But, you know, you watch the things. You watch Beavers chasing the quarterback and swats over the top and causes a fumble. Exactly like that Coach Wheeler has a drill that we do those things.
Textbook. And, it was right exactly. In front of me, and I have a picture of it on the web. And it's perfect.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect, and that's what we teach, and it's good to see that they do the things that we teach. So we know that they are listening. You know, Brady Burke, he has a block punt, which is a big momentum builder for us, and has four hurries on punts as well. After the first one, he asked me if he can go block it, and I said, absolutely, if you can, go after him. So he was trying to go after him, and because of that, then we get decent field position. So he is the special teams player of the week, and you know, and I tell you that Hunter Boone, I thought settled down. I didn't think that he hurried the ball a lot, and it shows. I mean, he had 19 of 23 for 251 yards and had three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So with zero turnovers, zero picks, and you know, that's what we want to see, and that needs to carry on over for this next week. And, you know, I can't say enough about Caden McAllister. The way he plays, I'm watching him run down, kick off, and you know, and he absolutely annihilates somebody and gets in on the tackle. Yeah. I mean, he just has a nose for the football and has a hunger and has a passion to do it, and that's why he'll continue to be on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, and also say that you know, I was glad to see JoJo Estes come back in and play, because I thought that he played well. I thought his reactions to the plays and the way that his steps and things like that that they were supposed to do and his scrapes, I thought he did an excellent job. And I thought that Mitchell Joyce came in and you know, got some time that you know, that he hadn't gotten last week. And so I thought that those two kids that came in and played well. But you know, I do know that the linebackers were frustrated because the front three were making the stops. And you know, and I tell you, Riley Gobin, when he comes in, you know, I think he does a great job, and he got in on a couple tackles right there. So you know, it's good to see. I think that overall, you know, you look at the opponent, but you still have to play the game. And you have to minimize your mistakes, and that's what we were trying to do, and we wanted to make sure that we did that.
You know, I wrote on the story online that this was an unprecedented defensive effort, because, you know, my memory is pretty feeble at this point, but...
That's an age thing.
Yeah, but I've been around a long time, and I do not ever remember we having so many tackles for loss in a single game. And in the first half, Webster County had four plays for positive yards, and two of those were on the pass. Mm-hmm. Two rushing plays. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah, and it says a lot for the defense. I mean, they get their first down late in the...
Against the reserves. Didn't have a first down.
When we take our starters out and put them in there. But, you know, that says a lot for the way Coach Wheeler has them prepared and the way that they play and our game plan. And I thought that, that Coach Wheeler called a great game. I was watching it and I do go back and critique the coaches and when I watch film.
It's part of your job.
Part of my job. You know, just want to make sure that I continue to do that, that I'm not slacking in my job since they demoted me to special teams coordinator, and that's it. So, I, you know, go back and look at them, and, you know, a lot of those tackles for losses because the way that he called and what the defense that he called. So yeah, we have to give our hats off to him.
Coach Wheeler, what, you know, the fans, they sit in the stands and they watch this game. They see us making these tackles behind the line of scrimmage, and they know all these kids had great games. But what was your takeaway from this? What's something maybe the average fan, the listener here today, maybe didn't see in that ball game that you did?
I mean, I think the biggest thing when you look at the stat sheet, you see 17 tackles for losses, you just think it's because maybe the opponent we played, and then we had seven missed tackles, but our seven missed tackles were all super aggressive that we missed and maybe bumped into each other. So, I mean, a lot of the fans probably see some of the wild calls that we make, you know, on the defense, but when it comes down to it, the biggest thing was Coach Starnes told me a couple weeks ago, you don't have to call the perfect play to every perfect offensive play, just let them play. So we got real, real simple the last 2 weeks, and our kids know how to line up, and they get there, you know, in a pretty bad mood every time. So, I mean, that's what I was really impressed with them is their technique. You know, even when they did scramble, you saw guys getting back in to their spot drops where they needed to go, and that's what took a lot away from what Webster County was trying to do. Mm.
Anybody in particular, you know, we have the obvious guys. We talk about Beavers. We talk about Burr. We talk about the linebacker. Who else on defense is doing their job, doing the things that they're supposed to do that maybe, you know, doesn't show up in the stats?
Well, I think what doesn't show up on the stats is our kickoff. I mean, we got to kick off quite a bit Friday night. And I think a lot of our skill guys that weren't getting in on any tackles, they realize that's the only place they're going to get tackles. Mm-hmm. And two stand out big time to me. One was Devin Nesbitt. He looked over at Coach Starnes and he said, "You watch this." And he gets down there and makes a beautiful tackle all by himself. You know, he's an outside guy. He gets down there first, makes a solo tackle, kind of hawks and rolls the guy, gets up, and him and Coach Thompson are always picking at each other. So he kind of gives Coach Thompson a gesture. And then the next one, you know, tackling was Brandon Lamy. Gets down, and on film, he's 15 yards in front of everybody on the kickoff. And actually, on film, it looked like a safety. It should have been. They marked it on the 1 yard line, you know, and they shouldn't have. But, you know, our technique of defeating blocks on kickoff and ripping through people and then making tackles is what I was really impressed with, because, you know, we've been in games like this before where you don't always have to do everything right. and you're going to end up on top. But our technique with these guys is what I was really impressed with.
Offensively, Coach Starnes, you mentioned Hunter and had a great game, but Devin Nesbitt seemed to come back into his own too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Desmond is a solid runner. I mean, he we expect him to get his yardage. And so, you know, he was able to do that. I think he was over
103 yards.
So, you know, we expect that out of him. So he just, you know, we just need to make sure that we continue that. But, you know, I mean, we still have an inexperienced line up front. So that plays a lot of part in it. You know, Ian Ellington has started at guard for the second week, and you know, he got a couple roaches, and you know, they called him on a hold one time. It was a big play that I thought was a roach instead of a hold, but you know, shows it his passion. But you know, we just need to continue to get better and continue to work, and it you know, running game is hard in the spread. It really is from a stand up position, and it has to come down to the scheme that you do and the zone scheme, and because that creates a lot of the passing situations for us to be able to do that. So if they think you're running it, and you know, you run your run pass options, and the linemen are blocking the run, and you throw the football, then it creates a lot of indecision for the linebackers and the defense.
We'll talk too just a little bit about the penalties. You mentioned a penalty there on Ian. You didn't think it probably was should have been called, but we had six in the game and 70 yards in total penalties for us. And there was a new, they were trying something new. KHSAA or our region had 7 officials on the field. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of eyes and a lot of laundry.
Yeah, and you know, I don't disagree with that. I do disagree with some of the flags that were thrown, and initially. You know, I was watching the pass interference and thought that it might have been. But in Ethan's defense, I mean, he put both hands on his shoulders to feel him, and he didn't push him. And that's what you have to look for, mm-hmm. is was their defensive momentum stopped because of the push-off? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. And I think that it was just a matter of him feeling where the defender was, and I thought he made a great catch and a great play. You know, I totally disagree with the concept of a defenseless player in the way that they're calling it. I understand what they're trying to do. To me, a defenseless player is a receiver that's going up to catch a ball and you try to nail him, or a quarterback that's standing there trying to throw a pass and doesn't see anybody. But when a defender is trying to run and make a tackle and we have somebody block him, that's not a defenseless receiver. And I think that the officials are defenseless player. And I think the officials have that wrong. I know the intent of the rule, but I don't agree with it, because I thought Gavin Dickerson made an excellent block to stop a guy that was gonna make a play. He stopped him from making a play, and that's what we're taught to do. And so I just disagree with that, because I think that the officials have the intent right. I just think that they have the interpretation of a defenseless player wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, otherwise, same thing, Chris, mm-hmm. because, you know, we teach them, you know, Webster County crossed on their kickoff every time. Mm-hmm. So if they cross and they hit one of our guys that's going down the field, that's a defenseless player in the eyes of the official. Mm-hmm. They can't do that. So therefore, it takes out some of the things that we have in as coaches, mm-hmm. for that. So you can't tell me that that's a defenseless player and you're going to call that as opposed to, you know, the receiver. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop that. So
will we see this many officials on the field again this year?
You know, we could. We've agreed to it, because I think that that's what they're trying to do in a state championship and a playoff. So they're trying to get the crews ready to do that prior to
their them placement their on the playoffs. Field and right. how they
yes.
swap
yeah. mechanics of it.
Okay. All right, well, 49-7 victory over at Webster County. Could have very easily been 49-0. We put the reserves in, and they broke a long pass there at the end of the game. Coach Wheeler, congratulations. Great game by the defense.
Thank you.
Great game by the offense, and we're going to get ready this week for Union County. We'll be over at the Cold Bowl, as we call it. We're going to talk in depth about Union County on Thursday, so check back
with
the podcast.
Yeah, that's good, and you know where they're homecoming, so we're glad to hear that.
That always seems to be a little motivation for our guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thanks for this week's podcast.